morning. We thank you for being here. It's rather an early hour for a funeral, but we don't always have control over these things. And we do thank you for being here. And on behalf of the family, I would welcome you to this funeral service. Our sister Millie is no longer with us, but she is directing the funeral service. Some time ago, she called me to go and visit her. And as we sat down, she said, "I want to discuss with you the details of my funeral and my funeral service." And down to the last details, she worked it all out and made sure there was nothing heretical about it, and proceeded from there. The only alteration I am making to the service as she has given it, and it's not really an alteration, is that one of the hymns I asked Dr. Gingery to play, and he has just played it, and I would request that perhaps he would play it again at the end of the service in case you didn't get the significance of it. It's a great hymn. "He was wounded for our transgressions." And the reason I've asked for it in musical form rather than that we sing it is that it is rather a difficult hymn for a congregation to carry, even with a full congregation, and on a Sunday evening, and certainly would be almost impossible for a small gathering early in the morning. So let's remain standing for prayer. As we come to pray, we remember the words of the Saviour himself: "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And the promise of the ancient scriptures: "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, because in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for him who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Our God, we come today into this service to remember the grace of God in the life of our sister Millie Sen. We thank thee for the many times in this very building she has testified to the grace of God that saved her, that has kept her, that made her a new creature in Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for the Savior who met with her and made her a child of God. We thank thee for a Savior who encouraged her and who made her a blessing in this congregation. We thank thee, our God, for the Savior who stood by her, and even at the end of life, in these last few days of great personal anxiety, who finally came and gave her peace, and who answered prayer in a most remarkable way to give her a quiet release from this life and a glorious entrance into heaven. Our Father, we thank thee that we do not mourn as those who have no hope, for we do believe that Jesus died and rose again. And we know that even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We thank thee, our Father and our God, that the day will soon come when they who are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. When the trumpet shall sound, when the earth will quake, when the Son of Man will come like the lightning out of the east. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Our God, we thank Thee for a living Christ, for the living truth of the gospel. We thank Thee, our God, for the knowledge of sins forgiven in Him. We thank Thee that we are reminded of all these things as we come for this funeral service today. So, Lord, grant us Thy presence. Comfort the family circle. We pray that Thou wilt draw near. We pray that Thou wilt give them Thy peace and especially Thy grace and wisdom as they would look after the winding up of Millie's affairs and her home. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be to these folk all they need. And Lord, we pray that their knowledge that their loved one is now with Christ will be a great source of blessing to their souls. We pray these things, giving Thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us this morning to read just a few verses of God's Word together as we meet in this service. Millie left the reading of Scripture and the choice of Scripture entirely to me on this occasion. And we will read just a few verses from the Old Testament, and then we will read a few verses from the New Testament. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then the words of the Apostle Paul that I have already referred to in the opening prayer. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And finally, from the book of the Revelation, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word for his name's sake. As I told you, our sister Millie worked out the details of what she wanted in her funeral service. And one thing she particularly wanted was to have Jean Elliott sing for us the 84th Psalm. We had a rather touching scene. Not long after Millie met with me and gave me this list and communicated it to Jean at the same time, because Jean sang this piece in church just a week or two later. And afterwards he and Millie, with many smiles and laughs, laughs maybe gives a wrong impression, it was a joy, said, well, that was a dress rehearsal. It's good when you can look forward to dying and know the truth of this glorious psalm. So I'm going to ask our brother Gene Elliott to sing for us the Psalm 84.
For a day in thy soul longeth, yea, fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My soul and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Lord bless that great testimony to all our hearts. Millie's niece, Cheryl, is going to give a brief tribute on behalf of the family.
My Aunt Millie lived with our family for many years before I was born and after I was born. And my sister Joyce and my sister Patricia, who's not able to be here today, and her great-nephew Kenneth, we all have many wonderful memories of her. And I'd like to just share a few of them with you, and particularly things that I learned from her, things that she taught me. For example, she taught me a lot about being neat and tidy. We shared a bedroom and a bathroom together for many years, so she had a vested interest in helping me grow in this area. And I'm not teasing, even to this day, when I push the shower curtain against the bathroom wall so the water doesn't get all over the floor, I remember her teaching me that. And also, you do the glasses first, and then the plates, and then the greasy pots and pans. And I'm delighted that she taught me these lessons. Actually, she and I were the kitchen crew in our family. These people went off to college, so she and I did the dishes for years and years. She washed and I dried. But the best part was that we sang the whole time. And that was a great joy. But I've also learned a great deal about servanthood and faithfulness to God from Millie. Whenever there was something to be done at home or at church, Millie got up and did it. She never complained. She never noticed who else was helping. She just did it. She made cakes for church suppers. She set the tables. She cleaned up the dishes, whatever it was. She also taught little kids Sunday school for many, many years. And not too many years ago, she told me that after doing this for a while, she was feeling a little worn out, and she felt like she needed to be in a class on her own. So she quit, and then they couldn't find enough teachers. And so she volunteered and kept going, and she said the Lord gave her strength. Many Sunday afternoons, well, for years, on Sunday afternoons, she went to nursing homes and helped to put on services for the people there. I find these particular examples compelling because, you know, Millie wasn't the most outgoing person in the whole world, and I think some of these things really stretched her out of her comfort zone. But what I saw growing up was that she was zealous to see God's word proclaimed. And she wanted to please Jesus. And I've learned a lot from that. But I've also learned about God's faithfulness to us through her life. When my parents, after 25 years in Fort Lauderdale, were going to move, and it wasn't the kind of situation where she could come. I don't remember where I was living, but I remember thinking, oh no, what was going to happen to Millie? It was kind of late in life to be all by herself. And how overjoyed we were when she moved in with Nona Gates. And they became fast friends. And it was a very happy time. And it got even better when they moved up here. And then they came into the fellowship of this wonderful church. And then all the added benefits of being so close to Bob Jones. It really was a wonderful time. God was faithful to her. He provided. And then Nona moved. And I thought again, oh no, what's going to happen to Millie? She seemed so vulnerable. I mean, she was in her 70s. She couldn't drive. What a time to be on your own. But she moved into her beautiful apartment at Lewis Village, walking distance from so many things. And we really believe these were her happiest years, but because of this wonderful church family and dear friends like Alice and Marie and many of you, and so many of you that I think Millie went to more events and services in a month than most people her age go to in 6 months, but it's because you were there and you took her. And the biblical preaching and teaching in this church nourished her. So, and even ministry. Here she is in her middle and late 70s, a time when many older people, you know, don't have much responsibility. And my aunt was involved in a worldwide ministry of theological education by extension as she mailed out the tapes of your pastors, Dr. Barrett and everyone, all over the world. God's grace. God provided. And I've watched this all through her life. Her faithfulness to him and his faithfulness to her. And even in her death, I've seen his grace. These last difficult days and weeks, had he abandoned her now? She wanted so to be with him. No. He was there. He didn't let her linger too long. You were there. And I can only praise God that in her last hours, it was peaceful. She was surrounded by love, song, scripture, prayer. Even at the end, God's strong grace was sufficient in her weakest moments. So now she is with her Savior, and I'm a little envious. But as long as the Lord keeps me here, I want to follow her example of servanthood, faithfulness to God. I want to trust him more because I've seen his grace and her faithfulness to her and to me. And of course, I want to be neat and tidy. And on behalf of our family, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your love for Millie, for being truly the body of Christ. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Saying to Cheryl just a couple of days ago on the phone, I have known, I wish this weren't true, but unfortunate it is, I have known people whose daughters didn't look after them nearly as well as Millie's nieces looked after her, even though they lived at such a distance. So she was well blessed in that regard as well. So we sympathize with the family. We welcome them back to Greenville and trust the Lord will sustain them and do them good in these times. Cheryl mentioned that the Lord was faithful to Millie even to the end. I want to make this clear. I'll not be here on the Sabbath day, so I will make it clear. We don't live in a perfect world, and there's none of us perfect in ourselves. Millie was greatly distraught in her last days and found it very difficult to understand why God didn't immediately take her. Speaking to the supervising nurse at the nursing home, she told me Millie was wanting her to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning one morning, and really her request was, "You promised you'd do anything you could for me, and I want you to get me out of this and into heaven." And that's what it was. And so what are you going to do about it? I told her, "Well, Millie, she did call me about 7:30. I told her, "Millie, we can't murder you. Nobody else can murder you. We're not in business to do that." And I had to speak very sternly to her that you're going to have to stop demanding and start submitting to the will of God. However, with all that, I don't want to give a wrong impression, because Millie was not really thinking very straight. She was under a lot of things that medically I didn't understand. Her sleep patterns were all together upside down. I think at times the medications were working against each other. That sort of thing happens in old folk. And I had to learn, a long time ago, you take the rough with the smooth. But it was a precious time, because when I couldn't get her out of this world, she was very angry with me. Now, Millie and I were the best of friends. Those of you who have been around this church know that. We were very good friends. And she was very angry with me. And set the phone down, having just said thank you for nothing. And so I said, "Well, it's nice to be appreciated." And so I went up to see Millie. And the poor soul was bent right over, looking down at the ground. And I later found out she didn't know that she wasn't sitting up straight. She was so distraught about, why am I still here? This really started when she lost her two friends, Marlene Goldstrom and then Marie Farrell. But especially Marlene, being so much younger. And she said to me, "Why? Why Marlene? Why not me?" And ever since then, I've noticed this, and Millie, she wanted to be gone. But when I went up, she was bent over. One of the workers came in to help her to get food, and she looked up and looked at me, "Who's that?" She says, "Oh, him, I'm mad at him." And so I talked to her again, very straightly, gently but straightly, and a memory I'll always have. She sat on the side of the bed. She said, "Come and sit beside me." And all the worry, the anger that I couldn't get her out of this world and into the next by doing that, all was gone. She said, "Come and sit beside me, put your arm around me." Now, you all know Millie. That's not Millie. Millie wasn't one of the world's great huggers. She said, "Sit beside me. I'm cold." I said, "You want me to get you a blanket?" "No, you just snuggle up to me and keep me warm." So I said, "Well, wonderful the jobs you get when you're a pastor." So I sat on the bed with my arm around Millie. The hospital worker, the nursing home worker, came in again, and I said, "I have to snuggle up to make Millie warm, and I can't tell my wife." But Millie was so weak she couldn't even smile. But I talked to her, we prayed together, and she cried to the Lord. And through those times, one thing that encouraged me was any time I gave Millie the word, she responded. The Christians are not always perfect in their reactions, especially when they're suffering and when they can't think straight and when old age is just taking away many of the things they've taken for granted.
But I have discovered that God's people respond to God's word. And God spoke to Mary. And she prayed with me and then cried to the Lord and was helped. Sunday, of course, Jean and Sarah went up and she was in a coma. It appeared she was dying. We thought in the hospital or the nursing home, as I found out later that day, didn't expect her to live through the day. I went up after church that night. Indeed, I left her at 10 o'clock on Sunday night. And Millie was back to where she was. I spoke to the supervising nurse. She said, she's back to where she was, and we'll have her back. She lived for months. The only way she'll die in the next few months, as far as we can see, is if she starves herself to death. I said, she's not going to be happy to come back. She was responding to us. She didn't want to talk, but she could say, yeah, I need a drink. And I asked, do you need a drink? Uh-huh. And that sort of thing. The nurse told me her vital signs are strong. Her body temperature is normal. We expect her to live. As I went back into Millie, I said, Millie, you still want the Lord to take you? Well, we'll pray and we'll ask the Lord. Now, it's strange. One of her angers with me was I had never prayed the Lord would take her. I hadn't felt that I should pray that. I told her, I just pray for you, the Lord will do His will. But that Sunday morning, early in the morning, I had felt for the first time I should pray this. And I found in talking to Cheryl later that that Sunday morning she had felt for the first time she could also pray that. It was that day we heard she was in a coma. And that night, I found her, as I say, getting better. I'm told by the charge nurse she's going to live. She's back to where she was, getting stronger. We went in and prayed that God would do two things. Give her the sense of His presence. Three things, really. The sense of His presence and peace. Give her a quiet exit from this world and a glorious entrance into heaven. And less than 3 hours later, Millie was gone. Some people think God only answers prayer for you when you've prayed God healed somebody. But heaven is the best healing of all. And so God had answered prayer. I take this as the mercy of the Lord to Millie, because I don't really think she could have faced another 3 or 4 months of living in the nursing home, however good the facility was, and it was good. As we come to her funeral service today, I say that just to tell you that God is faithful to the end. My thoughts turned, as I thought of this service this morning, to the 48th Psalm. And I'm only going to read the first and the last verses of the Psalm. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountain of His holiness. Verse 14, for this God is our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. The testimony of a child of God. It's great to be saved. It's very important to be saved. I trust that every one of you knows Christ and is sure that you know Christ. If it's important now, it's much more important when you come to where Millie has been. You stand in the borderland of the grave and then cross over. Job asked the question. He said, man dieth, man wasteth away, he giveth up the ghost. Where is he? When you face that question, then you understand how vitally important it is to have the testimony that the psalmist here sets forth, and the testimony that Millie could rejoice in. Speaks of the Lord. He is our God. This God is our God. We give Him all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. We didn't seek Him, He sought us. We didn't find Him, He made Himself known unto us. We didn't try to find a dwelling in heaven. He sent His Son to make His dwelling among men so that He might bring us to the everlasting habitations of His glory. And ever since He made us His people and became our God, He has led us, protected us, and kept us. That was the psalmist's testimony in the 48th Psalm, and that was Millie's testimony. In my job, you get to see people when they're sick as well as when they're well. You get to see people when they're living, and you get to see people when they're dying. There's something about life that people like to hold on to. You know, the idea, I want to go to heaven, but not just yet. But when you can sit down with someone when their health is good, when their spirits are not depressed, but they are normal and enjoying life, they can say, I want to face death, and I want to set my affairs in order, and I want my funeral service to be a testimony to the glory of my Savior. I'm going to tell you, you know somebody with a real testimony. And it's not a testimony. Millie always loved to tell us how that she was not born a Christian, and she wasn't a Christian very early in life. She wasn't saved as a child. She knew what it was to be religious and yet ungodly. She loved to tell how God saved her as an adult, brought her to Christ, and became her God. What a testimony. This God, the God who created this whole universe, the God who upholds it all by the word of His power, the God who is in providential control of all things, the God who sent forth His Son to be made of a woman, to go to the cross and redeem guilty sinners from their sin. This God is our God. He's our God. But when He's our God, He's our guard. You will notice this very clearly in the fourth verse of this psalm. The psalmist talks about those who would come against the people of God, but yet they saw what God was to His people and they turned back. Fear took hold upon them. God broke the ships of Tarshish. He broke the forces of the enemies of His people. Why? Because He stands guard over His people. This God is our God. This God is our guard. Thank God this God is our guide. He will be our guide. The Authorized Version says, even unto death. What a glorious statement that is. A guide through life. A guide through the valley of the shadow of death. A guide all the way through the gates of glory. He's our guide. We don't know the way, but we can say, He knows the way that I take. When people ask me, why is God doing this? Why is God allowing that? I have no supernatural insight into the eternal decree of God. I can't understand the fullness of God's secret purpose. There are some things that He makes known to those who fear Him, for the secret of the Lord is with them. But there is always a depth to God's purpose that we must take by faith. We cannot understand by sight. I don't understand all these things and can't say why God does this, except that he does it for his glory and he does it for the good of his people. But I can say he will be our guide. He guided Millie. You've heard Cheryl's testimony. How she led her each step of the way. Now how she led her into glory. Today we celebrate God and his grace in the life of our sister Millie. We will miss her in this church. She's an institution here. I always told her, Millie, you've got she and Mrs. Verdon, and neither of them obeyed me. I told them, you have to make 100. I want you to make it to 100. Millie said, I don't want to live until I'm 100. I want to be gone. Well, she knew better. But we will miss her. As Cheryl said, she, until recent years, looked after our tape ministry. She not only sent out the tapes, see these men up here, especially this man on this end and this man on this end, she kept them in order. She kept the tape ministry well, the wheels of the work well oiled, kept the tapes going out. Then she trained Alice for the job, and I mean trained her. Alice couldn't do it the way she wanted. Millie said, this is the way I do it, this is the way it's done. I don't know how Millie got on so well with me, because she is German and I'm Scots-Irish. If you ask Millie what will you be doing next Monday, she would tell you, well, from this time to this time I'll be doing this, from this time I'll be doing this. She could write down every day of every week and tell you. Whereas you see, the Scots-Irish like to react to the moment. And so, with all those differences, we were able to get on, and my, she helped in the work here. We will miss her. We'll miss her in the prayer meetings, for she was faithful. We'll miss her in the Sabbath services, for she was faithful. I hope it'll be a challenge to those of us who are left. As I have lifted up to the Lord the loss of some of our godly members in death, we've been losing prayer warriors. You don't get too many Millie Sands. You don't get too many Marlene Goldstroms. These are ladies who stood behind this preacher in prayer, and I knew it. We miss these folk. It puts an all the bigger burden on you and me that we take up the torch. We stand faithful to our God. That's the call. Teach us to number our days. As we look at this casket, Lord, help me to live with the vision of Christ, that I may serve him. When I come to die, my life will not have been lived in thee. May the Lord bless the reading and the brief meditation on his word, and the remembrance of our sister Millie's testimony to all our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God that we have been reading, for the joy that it brings to our heart to know that when we read of the glories of our God, we can say in truth, this God is our God. When we come to Calvary and we see the mighty love that drew salvation's plan, and the grace that brought it down to man, and the gulf that God did span, we say, this God is our God. Our Father, when we think of the judgment day, when all nations will be gathered before thy great throne,
We view that throne and the Lamb at the right hand of God. We can say, this God is our God. We bless thee that thou wilt be our guide forever and ever. Thou wilt not leave thy children one step short of heaven. How we rejoice that our sister Millie Sen is with Christ today, saved by grace alone. We thank thee for the testimony she has given us, even in the hymn she has asked us to sing. We thank thee that she could say, I am my beloved's, my beloved's mine. He brings this poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. Oh God, if she could sing it on earth, how much more can she sing it now in the glory? We thank thee that Millie is with Christ. Bless those of us who are left a while on this earth. Bless her family circle. Bless Patricia, who cannot be here today. Minister to her and to her husband in his time of need. Bless Joyce and Cheryl and Kenneth. Minister grace to them. And, O Lord, speak to all our hearts. If there's one man or woman or boy or girl here who doesn't know Millie's Savior, who doesn't know the merit of Christ applied, the cleansing of his blood and acceptance with God by faith in him, Lord, speak to that soul. And from the very borderland of death, we pray that thou wilt call that soul into life eternal by faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, stir up the rest of us. Make us faithful to God. Give us a deep burden for the work of God and for the cause of Christ. We have heard today of Millie's service with children, her service with old people, her service in nursing homes, her service in getting out the gospel. O God, give us a burden to be in the work of God and active in getting to the place of doing thy will. O Lord, our God, answer prayer. We commit this all to thee. We end as we began by saying, in truth, praise my soul, the King of heaven. For as our brother sang to us, thou art my King and my God. Spread thy covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. Grant that by sovereign grace in thy blessed abode we shall all arrive in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter be the abiding portion of us all, now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.